Good morning, good morning, good morning, dear listeners, wherever you do find yourself. Good morning on this, my Sunday morning take, which is a, in terms of weather, in terms of climate, this particular weekend has been weird. As you can still hear, I still have a little bit of a sinus situation going on because it seems like the flu is just being the flu, but it's surprising to see ultimately how many people were also caught out with this particular seasonal bug, because obviously we're trying to transition from one season into the next. As you and I obviously know, the calamity of last year in terms of where 1 June just started off with a, almost a Disney type of a setting, one day warm on the 30th of May, and the next day, the 1st of June, we were literally running for the heaters and for all the blankets in our homes. So, on this mellow Sunday morning session, I welcome you specifically, dear listeners, to my Sunday morning take, where we do focus on a lot of history, a lot of geography, a little bit of science, and a little bit of everything else in between in terms of, you know, explaining how the greater world ultimately works around us. Wherever you're listening to us from, dear listeners, good morning, and ultimately, if you've moved or, you know, had certain particular technical issues, do remember you can always listen to us on the Eagle FM application. It doesn't go down. There's always the Eagle FM website that you can stream us through, where you can also access the podcasting feature. And lastly, just consult some of our social media platforms, one of our social media platforms, because we have so many, in terms of where we always have the frequency map on or active. Now, for our discussion for this morning, we're taking a little bit of a modern day take on a particular talking point, which actually has made its particular presence known, well, in European cycles, not in an African context, but in an African context, it actually, you know, explains certain particular sort of developments happening specifically on the European continent. You would be asking yourself, you know, as to why? Well, I wish to bring this particular subject matter, which happened concurrently or right next to the Rwandan, the 1994 Rwandan genocide chapter in an African context, to highlight to you the, how bad the realm of politics can actually become. Now, when I say how bad, it's particularly where politicians drive tribal politics, tribalism, ethnic violences or violent clashes between various ethnic groups. And thus it leads predominantly to what was one of potentially Europe's best socialist projects of, you know, the Cold War era after the Second World War, to becoming one of Europe's predominantly most violent and ugliest ethnic crime zones, if I can use that word. Yeah, technically, yeah, because he's the one of the particular perpetrators was, he was taken to The Hague to the, is it the ICC? Yeah, to the ICC. And it's one of these particular chapters that will always go down in history as being just, firstly, you'll ask yourself, what happened there? Well, we'll share the what happened, but it actually, we will start off with what's currently going on and what is the picture on the ground. Now, as we always do, dear listeners, this is my Sunday morning take. You'll only be in my care from 5 a.m. up until 7 a.m. on this particular morning session. As we always do, we get into the gist of everything pretty quickly. But before we do that, dear listeners, we're quickly taking a short break, and we'll be back right after this.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
So coming back, dear listeners, and once again welcoming you to this Sunday morning session in my company, that, well, me, Dwight, and that is my Sunday morning take here on your number one talk radio station. Just do remember, specifically as we always do, that you can also, if you're one of our subscribers from the particular, the Village AE paper ad that you just heard there, do remember that every Monday, Wednesday and Friday is when we have our editions. So obviously it is the day before, it's known as the Village Eve. So be ready and welcome some of that particular insightful reading for tomorrow's edition. Now, in terms of our particular introduction and discussion, we've got to take a few particular notes. So currently, the country I'm going to be talking about, actually two territories that I'm going to be talking about. Today, in the modern day context, in 2025, as of the 18th of May, there are currently certain particular rumblings happening in the country known as Bosnia and Herzegovina in the Balkans. Now, Bosnia and Herzegovina, dear listeners, it is a country, but it has a particularly weird system going on. Now, why do I say it's a weird system? Well, Bosnia-Herzegovina, which I did not even know of, and it seems that most of us around the world did not know of, actually has three presidents concurrently, parallel to each other, but they are all legally recognized. However, this is not an absolute scenario in terms of where these three presidents ultimately govern, well, you know, let's rather say in three separate languages, the country. No. These three presidents represent the three largest ethnic groups in the countries of Bosnia and Herzegovina. That being the Bosniaks, who are predominantly Muslim, the Croats, who are predominantly, they are predominantly Roman Catholic, and then you've got the Serbs, who are predominantly Orthodox Christian. Now, Orthodox Christian, alongside the Catholics, they have a little bit of a scenario, you know, in terms of recognizing each other. But the Orthodox Christians are slightly older in practice than the Catholics. The same thing with the Coptic Christians from Egypt. The, what's the other particular Christians that you find in Lebanon, and also the other guys that you find in Ethiopia. So they are slightly older in terms of tradition and, you know, customs and all those particular things. Now, as I laid it out there for you, dear listeners, in Bosnia-Herzegovina, these are the three largest particular ethnic groups. Croats, it goes from Bosniaks, Serbs, and then the Croats. They all have their distinct, very dominant language groups. Plus, there are also other smaller ethnicities found within this country, Bosnia and Herzegovina. Now, currently what is happening on the ground in Bosnia-Herzegovina is that the Serbian president, what's the gentleman's name? Is it Milorad Dodik? Just want to get his name, dear listeners. Milorad Dodik. So Milorad Dodik has recently, in the start of this year of 2025, he's been having what you would predominantly find, for example, like the celebrations of the Victory Day, like what happened recently in Moscow in Russia. The Victory Day celebrations is obviously as Russia celebrates the end of the Second World War, which at great length is always a commemoration in terms of stopping or the victory over, you know, fascist European elements from Western Europe. The same, there is a similar celebration obviously also takes place in the, for example, in France, or in Great Britain, or not in Great Britain, in the United Kingdom. And then you've obviously also got, I think, a similar particular engagement happening in Germany itself. But when you look at them, they actually flow from week into week into week into week. Why do I say this? Well, not too long ago, you had the celebrations specifically of Anzac Day, or Anzac. Anzac is the Australian, New Zealand, you know, sort of like celebrations of soldiers that came from there that fought in the First and the Second World Wars. Then you've obviously got, they call it the VE Day celebrations in France, the UK, and in Germany to an extent. And then obviously you've got the Victory Day celebrations in Russia, primarily where, and you see literally the Second World War hardware that was used in this, in during that period being paraded in terms of in Moscow. But what this Milorad Dodik actually did was, Milorad Dodik is technically, remember I told you at the start, he's one of three presidents in the same territory. So whenever they have elections, they're voting for three representatives. Croats vote for a Croat person. Serbs vote for a Serbian person. And Bosniaks vote for a Bosniak person. They, remember, these three presidents sit together. They literally run the country together, the three of them. The particular discussion from this muddles the situation even further, because you'd be sitting there wondering, Dwight, how is this possible? Well, this was all brought about because of the Bosnian War. If you don't know about the Bosnian War back in the 1990s, it happened from 1993 to 1995. The most violent, or one of the most violent chapters of Eastern Europe. This obviously led to many people dying. This obviously led to further fracturing of a country that existed up until 1992. It was fueled predominantly by ethnic violence and politicians who literally ruled based on ethnicity. I mean, guys, that the Balkans exercise is predominantly, it's just as bad as the Rwanda situation, or what happened in 1994 in Rwanda. But it's just that in the case of Rwanda, Rwanda was already a country that existed. So Rwanda didn't fracture even further. Rwanda's fracturing culminated just in an event of severe bloodshed in a span of a year. However, in the, what happened in the Bosnian War was literally you had three ethnic groups fighting against each other. There was a lot of violence. Today, Bosnia-Herzegovina looks like, you know, the Paris of Eastern Europe. But in the 90s, it was not so, such a good particular chapter. Now, before we continue, dear listeners, we're quickly going to take a short musical break. And after the break, we're going to come back, heading into what led to the particular start of the Bosnian War, and ultimately the establishment of how this particular weird rule, this weird particular governance structure actually was implemented. On that note, we'll be back right after this.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hyundai at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Life that someone knows, a bit of path of life that I've been shown. So I quiero estar cerca.
And that brings us about just before the time frame of at least 20 minutes out from the top of the hour at 6 a.m. Welcoming you back, dear listeners. This is my Sunday morning take. And we're back into the particular discussion in terms of the developments actually coming through from Eastern Europe. Now, where we left off, I explained to you specifically how the country of Bosnia and Herzegovina are split into three particular strong and thus representative, sort of like aspects. I call them aspects because in terms of the governance structure, these three particular presidents, which are the three aspects, actually have to report to a non-Bosnian and Herzegovinian citizen that is ultimately in charge of proving and ultimately representing Bosnia and Herzegovina. Now, the person that I'm actually talking about is technically a viceroy. So, if you don't know what a viceroy is, dear listeners, a viceroy in most cases, they are like this very powerful political politically appointed person that has a lot of say, specifically in the affairs of a country or territory. This particular person in the Bosnian and Herzegovinian realm, just to highlight to you, is actually a German national, this particular person. This individual is appointed by the European Union to basically, you know, be in charge of the affairs of this country. These three presidents that I made reference to a little bit earlier, they actually report to the single man, because it currently is a man. This particular man has the power to approve or to disapprove or reject any new lawmaking. He literally can do it. And the particular developments that I mentioned to you just before the break in terms of what the Milorad Dodik guy is doing, the Milorad Dodik guy is doing, the guy that's the Serbian president, is technically that he wants to take all Serbian territory where the Serbs stay and merge it with the neighboring country of Serbia right next door to Bosnia and Herzegovina, to the east. To the west of Bosnia and Herzegovina, you find the country of Croatia. And you obviously now understand what this particular dilemma actually represents. Instead that you've got one guy in the country who wishes to do a lot of weird things, ultimately to create an imbalance, probably more particular strife, and probably bring back a contentious issue that existed back in the 1990s, up until when the former Yugoslavia, which was the whole country that included Croatia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Serbia, Kosovo, there's another, and Montenegro is the other territory, that included all these particular territories into one big country, technically broke up because of the war that ensued. Now, this is where things get interesting in terms of how did they get to this particular discussion? How did they get here? Where they've got a non-citizen being in charge or representing the country's interests, and whereby they've got three presidents that have to report to this particular individual in terms of new lawmaking, new endeavors, policy making, as well as also how to take this particular country of Bosnia and Herzegovina forward. Well, the reason how they got there was because there was an agreement, which is an international agreement that was signed in the United States, which was known as the Dayton Accords. Now, the Dayton Accords is an international agreement, as I told you, but the Dayton Accords peace agreement was reached on 21 November 1995. And this is by the presidents of Bosnia, Croatia, and Serbia. And this ended the war in Bosnia. And it technically also outlined a general framework agreement for peace in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Now, as I explained to you, dear listeners, the country of Bosnia and Herzegovina sits between two other countries. Croatia to the left, which is to the west, and Serbia to the right, which is to the east. Now, it also preserved Bosnia as a single state that was made up of two parts, the Bosniak-Croat Federation and the Bosnian Serb Republic. Do you guys now get it? With Sarajevo still remaining as the undivided capital city. But here's where things are interesting. Sarajevo was the capital city also under the country that housed these three countries in one, Yugoslavia. Sarajevo was Yugoslavia's capital. Even though today Croatia has the capital known as Zagreb, and Serbia, I think their capital's name is just for that particular interesting scenario. Serbia is also a very old city that, you know, it represents its capital, known as Belgrade. Now, Belgrade was also one of these particularly very badly hit, cities in terms of the war that happened there, is that specifically in the war in Eastern Europe, which is predominantly what happened with the breakup of Yugoslavia, because Yugoslavia consisted, like I said, of five countries. It's today five countries. It's technically six because it's Kosovo, Montenegro, Serbia, and Kosovo was literally supposed to be together with Montenegro, but then the Kosovans 2 years back in 2023 said, no, we don't want to be with the Montenegrins anymore in one territory. We want our own particular autonomous situation. But here's another downside to that particular situation. Yes, I'm using the word situation. It's because all lawmaking, all particular facilities, services for your cities, for your towns and villages is supplied through Montenegro. And now Montenegro looks like it's a piece of loose land that is possibly found within Serbia. So now it looks more part of Serbia than what it actually looked like part of Montenegro. Well, I'm slightly digressing, but getting back to the gist of everything. The agreement is known as the Dayton Accords because the negotiations took place at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base outside of Dayton, Ohio in the United States. Yes, the agreement was literally signed at an Air Force Base in the United States. The process was led by Richard Holbrooke, who was the chief U.S. peace negotiator and the Secretary of State at the time, Warren Christopher. Now, this ultimately explains how they also got to the Dayton Accords in terms of signing this particular agreement at a U.S. Air Force base. This was obviously because war had broken out in what was known as the former Yugoslavia in the early 1990s. Now remember, dear listeners, Yugoslavia was a country that existed from 1918 to 1992. Yes, 1918 to 1992. So it literally had an 80-year span, almost 90 years. It could have lasted. It could have. And they were obviously, in many cases, they were a predominantly socialist state. If you guys remember who Tito was, last particular head of state that they had, Tito in his own right was actually a pivotal statesman, because he was one of the founding, his country and himself, they were one of the founders of what we came to know as the non-aligned movement, which is actually the similar particular thing that, the US senators are trying to crucify South Africa with, in terms of saying, yeah, but South Africa, you say you're not aligned in any particular global efforts, but you are part of BRICS, you do weird things with the Russians, you allow weird particular trade deals with China, and you don't ultimately, it seems like you are more involved than actually aligned, which is actually a little bit of a misnomer and greatly distracting piece of statement, because it's like them saying South Africa should not have trade relations with countries that they don't like. Weird, eh? But anyway, the Dayton Accords outlined specifically, or came out into focus or into motion because of the outbreak of war in what was known as the former Yugoslavia. Now, the war broke out in the former Yugoslavia in the early 1990s following the dissolution of the Yugoslav Federation. Now, it comprised of, or it consisted of, the Bosnia and Herzegovina zone, Croatia, Macedonia, which today is known as North Macedonia, because the Greeks actually took Macedonia to court about the name Macedonia, because the Greeks have a province in the country of Greece with the name Macedonia. And they went and argued this particular case to say Macedonia should call itself North Macedonia because we have a province with the name Macedonia in it. It's the same thing that happened in China. China is a province that is known as North Mongolia. But there's the country of Mongolia to the north of China. And the province of North Mongolia literally runs along the border with Mongolia. So thus, China had to use the term North Mongolia because Mongolia is on the other side, is a direct northern neighbor of China. So particularly Greece had to argue this case so that North Macedonia adopts the word North in their name, because Greece has a province with the name Macedonia in their country. As mentioned, the Yugoslav Federation consisted of Bosnia and Herzegovina, Croatia, North Macedonia, Montenegro, Serbia, and Slovenia. Now, after Croatia and Bosnia and Herzegovina declared their independence from Yugoslavia, ethnic Serbs who opposed the breakup of the Serb-dominated Yugoslavia launched an armed struggles in order to carve out separate Serb-controlled territories in both areas. Now, around the same time, the Croats and the Bosniaks, who are Bosnian Muslims, also began fighting each other, largely over territory. The Serb separatists were given military support by Slobodan Milosevic, leader of the Republic of Serbia, as they systematically attacked other ethnic communities and subjugated civilians to murder, rape, and imprisonment in camps that technically also resembled that of the concentration camps that were used during the Second World War, specifically by, you know, history's favorite pincushion or, you know, subject matter or celebrity, if I can use that term, the failed Austrian painter. Now, the war in Croatia lasted until January of 1992. Now, remember, this is in Croatia. When an unconditional ceasefire established an easy peace between the Croatian government and the ethnic Serbs. The war between the Croats and the Bosniaks halted with the signing of the Washington Agreement in March of 1994, establishing an uncomfortable alliance known as the Bosniak-Croat Federation. Meanwhile, running concurrently to these particular developments, fighting between the Croat-Bosniak forces and the Serbs still continued. Despite international efforts in order to establish a lasting ceasefire, which included a no-fly zone, a fire-free zone around Sarajevo, and humanitarian operations. In February of 1994, in NATO's first ever use of force, NATO fighters actually shot down four Serb aircraft that were violating the no-fly zone. Later on, in May of 1995, NATO then conducted airstrikes on the Serb stronghold of Pale. It's spelled the same as the English word pale, you know, the word that means to be pale, but you have to pronounce it as Pale in terms of the place name. So in the summer of 1995, the tide also began to turn against the Serbs. Now, as the Bosniak and Croat forces then recaptured some of the Serb-held territory in Bosnia through a large-scale military operation codenamed Operation Storm, the largest European land offensive since World War II, the US president at the time, Bill Clinton, had authorized a private company to use retired U.S. military personnel to improve and train the Croatian army. The Croatian forces then took Krajina with little resistance, and it was the first defeat for the Serbs in 4 years in terms of this particular combat. And it also changed both the balance of powers on the ground and the psychology of all the parties. So, you then sit with a particularly weird picture on the ground, because one of the particular events that obviously happened during that particular, you know, Bosnian war from 1993 to 1995 was potentially that another severe event took place. Why I say severe event is because this particular event technically also spells certain particular negative feelings that you would find between two superpowers, China and the United States. Now, this particular event that I'm highlighting, dear listeners, is that this actually happened in 1999, but it was also in the realm of the discourse of the feeling, the attitude, the behavior, the psychology of the Balkans, specifically of the developers that took place. Now, there is a specific event that is associated to that Balkan scenario known as the Chinese embassy bombing that took place in 1999. Now, I know this is literally 4 years later from 1995 when the Dayton Accords were signed, but they still speak to the same particular negative situation, if I can call it a situation once again, that took place in the Balkans, specifically in Serbia, because the Chinese embassy was bombed in Belgrade by NATO bombing or by a NATO bombardment of the Serbian city of Belgrade, the Serbian capital of Belgrade. So it highlights specifically how bad the situation in that neighborhood of the Balkans were. And till this day, dear listeners, the Chinese have not forgotten about this event. Even though it has been highlighted, according to the US, they say in their particular engagement, which is on the US State Department's own particular website, an accidental bombing of the embassy, of the Chinese embassy in Belgrade, Serbia. And this, they even highlighted in a discussion that, you know what, this is a particular, you know, sort of like a mistake, this particular attack. Now, not digressing from our main talking point, but just so that you know, it ultimately highlights a significant development that obviously came into existence because of what happened in the Bosnian War. Now, getting back to the Dayton Accords. Now, obviously, to reach the particular level of bringing the three particular combating sides, the three sides that were fighting each other, into the same room to negotiate peace was obviously one of the main aims. So in an effort, obviously, to capitalize on the shift in momentum, the US president at the time, Bill Clinton, sent National Security Advisor Anthony Lake and his Undersecretary of State, Peter Tarnoff, to Europe to present a framework for peace. Now, the US also made a key shift in policy to conduct airstrikes against the Serbs if they continue to threaten the Bosnian safe areas or refuse to negotiate a settlement. In late August of 1995, following an attack by Bosnian Serbs in Sarajevo, NATO conducted airstrikes on Serb positions. On the 1st of September of 1995, literally just, after that event, Holbrook then announced that all the parties would meet in Geneva for talks. Now, when the Bosnian Serbs did not comply with all of NATO's conditions, NATO airstrikes then once again resumed. So it obviously shows you the stance that NATO had specifically with some of the belligerent sides in this conflict, knowing specifically that they wish to force them into a peace deal. So this ultimately also gives you an insight into the psychology going on here, because the moment one of the particular sides decide, you know what, I don't want to negotiate with any of the other sides, I want my stuff and this is the ultimate, you get bombed by NATO. And it highlighted a psychology in terms of where you basically couldn't understand what was going on here. You know, what was the real aspect? What really went wrong? Now, obviously, I highlighted to you at the start of the discussion, it seemed like this was predominantly just about land. Just about land. Straight up. Just about land. And it predominantly was also a scenario of two of the territories who highlighted they wanted independence from this particular federation of various ethnicities in one single territory. Now, when you look at this particular picture, you get to understand that there is a great divide on a particular taking place here. This great divide is predominantly based upon ethnic identity. Ethnic identity. Now, this particular politics, dear listeners, is problematic. This is not a politics, and it's the same thing that the guy today in 2025, Milorad Dodik, is trying to instill. Playing politics on ethnic lines. But before we continue, we take a quick ad break and we come back right after it.
You just got added to the GoTV Best Football Friends chat group. Let's go!
Final.
It's finals time and all the biggest players. are in it to win it. Catch every Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, Champions League, FA Cup, Europa League, Conference League. To cut the long voicemail short, you know who'll be there for you when you need to watch the finals. Stay connected to catch all the biggest football finals with your best football friend, GoTV. Love it.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Sorry about that, dear listeners. In terms of coming back there from the ad break and just highlighting also to you, we've reached the midway point of this morning's particular discussion. That ultimately means we are at the top of the hour at 6 a.m. Now, the current situation on the ground is technically that the politics on the ground is being played along the line of ethnicity, and once again trying to force through, obviously, through a show of some strength in some cases. And it's interesting, dear listeners, that you still have in 2025 people that believe, except for the countries that literally stopped the Second World War from continuing on. I understand that. They can have military parades. They can have those particular shows of grandiose, national, trying to instill a national pride in one or other format in terms of displaying, military assets just like that. But if you're a country or a territory that literally comes from a position of problematic politics, not willing to understand each other, very quick to jump literally the gun to a gun and ultimately, decide things through violence, you have a very serious problem in that particular zone, in that particular country, in that particular discussion, in that particular way of thinking even. That means there's a lot going wrong. There is a lot going wrong. Now, Dodik's discussion is that he has to report to this non-citizen head of state, this viceroy, this envoy that is appointed by the EU. He's one of three people that have to report to this guy. He doesn't like it. Clearly, he doesn't like it. He's trying to strong arm through a particular breakup of the country of Bosnia and Herzegovina because he wants most of the territories where they find themselves, he and his fellow, ethnicity, to be merged with Serbia. Now remember, when the Bosnian Serbs did not comply with all of the NATO conditions, NATO airstrikes once again resumed. So on 14 September of 1995, Holbrook succeeded in getting an agreement signed by Radovan Karadzic. He was also taken to The Hague. Ratko Mladic, same too. And leaders, who were both the leaders of the Bosnian Serbs, to end the siege of Sarajevo. And then laying the framework for final peace talks set to begin in Dayton, Ohio. On 1 November 1995, the conference began when the Bosnian president, Alija Izetbegovic, Serbian president, Slobodan Milosevic, and Croatian President Franjo Tudjman, and the representatives from the US, the UK, France, Germany, Italy, Russia, and the European Union met at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base on the outskirts of Dayton, Ohio, a site chosen to reduce the ability of participants to negotiate via the media rather than the bargaining table. Now, the peace conference was also led by Holbrooke, and it was co-chaired by the EU Special Representative Karel Bildt and the First Deputy Foreign Minister of Russia, Igor Ivanov. Now, 20 years later, or 21 days, sorry, not 20 years, 21 days later, the talks concluded in the General Framework Agreement for Peace in Bosnia and Herzegovina was initialed by Izetbegovic for the Republic of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Because remember, their capital is still the capital, is still the Yugoslavian capital, Sarajevo. Tudjman for the Republic of Croatia and Milosevic for the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. Now remember, Yugoslavia doesn't exist anymore, but this is the first breakups that took place. The Bosnian peace plan was hard, was a hard won, but it actually brought an end to four very bloody years of conflict that claimed more than 250,000 people in terms of lives, and it caused more than 2 million people to flee their homes. The final agreement was also a tribute to the skills of Holbrooke and his negotiating team, this, which also included the Undersecretary Christopher, Undersecretary of State Christopher, who at critical points was decisive in keeping the Bosnians on board and in closing the deal. Now, the other gentleman, Anthony Lake, who helped to sell the peace initiative to the parties involved, and who also, alongside Holbrooke, pushed for the final talks to be held in the US, ultimately also highlighted, you know, some of the particular wheelings and dealings that, that had to be incorporated in order for this peace deal to be agreed upon. Now, for the peace agreement to work, the agreement had to be implemented. For the agreement to work, it had to be implemented. Let me say that again. For the agreement to work, it had to be implemented. This meant it required the support of other countries. 6 days after the agreement was initialed or signed, Clinton took his case for US involvement in Bosnia to the American people. Speaking from the Oval Office, Clinton then said that US diplomacy had produced the Dayton Accords and that US troops had been requested to help the parties implement the peace plan. So, meaning a peacekeeping force. Now, let me just stop there and highlight to you what's also happening on the ground in Bosnia-Herzegovina today. So, with this guy, Dodik, was now trying to, you know, having military parades of the police and of some sort of a paramilitary installation of what looks like an army parading through, you know, where certain parts of the country. So too has more peacekeepers been requested from the European zone, and more have been sent ultimately to keep the peace on the ground in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Now, these particular developments you don't hear about easily every day. I know. It was also news to me when I discovered this particular subject matter for this morning's particular discussion, which also highlights that this particular situation is literally on the brink of another war happening in Europe. Not a war that potentially Russia is involved in. Well, maybe, because supposedly Dodik has flown to Russia, has made, you know, certain particular utterances in terms of that, the Russian President Putin supports his particular agenda, his particular, I promise myself I won't use the word agenda, his particular viewpoint in terms of the direction that he and his fellow particular people wish to go. and ultimately what they wish to achieve. But it highlights a questionable picture, as a Bosnian Serb politician, because as a Bosnian Serb, a Serb, he is literally bound by the Dayton Accords. Remember, the Russians observed this as well in 1995. They were there as well to look at what deal was being struck, what was being negotiated, and to be an observer. Now, he has been the president, this Milorad Dodik, he has been the president since 2022. He also previously held the same position from 2010 to 2018 again. So it's not his first time being in this role. But he ultimately has a, you know, a weird take. When I say a weird take on things, it obviously shows you that, you know, people are not talking to each other in that particular country. Or they are, but one guy is saying something else and the other one is hearing something else. Now, when this particular deal obviously saw the peacekeeping force of the Americans being deployed to the Balkans, specifically for the deal to be implemented, Clinton said that the peace in the Balkans was in America's interest, and he assured the American citizens, since 25 other nations had already agreed to participate in a peacekeeping force of at least 60,000, only a third of the troops would be American, meaning only 20,000 of that would be American soldiers. There is an American base there, just to let you know, guys. There is an American base there. Potentially, I don't know if it's still active, but in terms of its particular peacekeeping agenda, but there is a base there. The General Framework Agreement included 11 annexes, was signed formally in Paris on 14 December by the parties, and it was witnessed by Clinton, the French president of the time, Jacques Chirac, the British prime minister of the time, John Major, the German chancellor of the time, Helmut Kohl, and the Russian prime minister of the time, Viktor Chernomyrdin. Now, the agreement called for Bosnia and Herzegovina, Croatia, and the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia to agree to fully respect the sovereign equality of one another and to settle disputes by peaceful means. On top of this, the parties agreed to fully respect human rights and the rights of refugees and displaced persons. Finally, the parties agreed to cooperate fully with all entities, including those authorized by the UN Security Council, in implementing the peace settlement and investigating and prosecuting war crimes and other violations of international humanitarian law. Huh. I wonder how that went, because obviously I highlighted to you a whole bunch of guys that a little bit earlier were literally sent to The Hague. Now, peace endured since the signing of the Dayton Accords. Now, annexure 4 of the General Framework Agreement still stands as the constitution for Bosnia and Herzegovina. Yep. And continues to be the basis for the present political divisions of Bosnia and Herzegovina and its structure of government. The agreement also laid the groundwork for NATO military action in Kosovo in 1999, which has since led to the province's independence. The Serb leader, Milosevic, was arrested for war crimes, and he died in 2006 of natural causes during his trial. Now, it obviously highlights that, you know, this particular endeavor occurred, created certain particular negative influences, but obviously it was an event that changed parts of Eastern Europe for the, you know, you can't argue for the better. Because you probably see that, and as I highlighted to you, the same particular flavors keep popping up again, even in 2025. Now, before we continue, dear listeners, we take another quick musical break. After that, we come back heading into the rest of this morning's engagement here on my number one talk radio station. This is my Sunday morning take. I will be back right after this musical track.
Tú me dejaste de querer cuando te necesitaba, cuando más falta hacía. Tú me diste la espalda. Tú me dejaste de querer cuando menos lo esperaba, cuando más te quería, se te fueron las ganas. Pasado tres días con la misma ropa puesta, loco por ti, perdiendo apuestas. Dime en quién piensas cuando te acuestas. Porque yo pienso en ti, son ilusiones. Yo pienso en ti, son ilusiones. Porque yo pienso en ti, son ilusiones. Yo pienso en ti, son ilusiones. Tú me dejaste de querer cuando te necesitaba, cuando más falta de ti. Te fueron las ganas.
Sycamore in the summer, barren leaves. Swing you pushing our daughter underneath. Flowers bloom in the garden, swaying breeze. Just imagine a world where we could be. Right now in the waiting room, emotions running wild. Worried about my lover and I'm worried about a child. Part of me was always in denial. It's gonna take a little while. We're in our story, love in, love out. We are glorious. We're in our story, love in, love out. We are. Sycamore bringing shade from beating sun. Nothing more than a word, a smoking gun. What a puzzle is this to be in luck. To be planting your roots, then dig them up. Waiting on professionals to tell you how it is. he gonna say after I think you better sit? Brace yourself, something's about to hit. It's gonna take a little while. In our story, love and love out. We are glorious. In our story, love and love out. We are glorious. In our in the field, a lonely tree. Darling, what will become of you and me?
Coming back there from the particular sounds of Groove Armada with the song Paper Romance, a personal favorite because I still can't forget the song, even if I tried. Met or bumped into the song back in 2010 specifically, love the album as well, associated to this particular song. Now, just as we come back, dear listeners, we're about 2 minutes out from the time frame of 6:30, that, you know, reaching the last particular quarter of this morning's particular programming. And you, if you've just woken up, you're listening to my Sunday Morning Take here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And we were just going through primarily the aspect of the Dayton Accords, which actually was as a result of the particular, Bosnian War of the 90s, which ran from 1993 to 1995. Now, remember, dear listeners, that I made mention to you specifically, that there is someone who technically is a non-citizen of Bosnia and Herzegovina, who is more powerful than the three presidents that I made reference to, the Croat president in Bosnia and Herzegovina, the Bosniak president in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and the Serbian president in Bosnia and Herzegovina. This particular individual, as I mentioned, is a non-citizen, but they are from the European Union. The representative that I highlighted and made reference to specifically, their appointment is founded within the Dayton Agreements or the Dayton Accords specifically. It even highlights here, you know, how this position is founded. It's founded in the Dayton Agreement on 14 December of 1995. So, the office or the what it is known of as this particular entity is known as the Office of the High Representative for Bosnia and Herzegovina. The current representative, his name is Christian Schmidt. He's from Germany, and he is known as the High Representative. There is another particular legal position that also exists that helps him in terms of the day-to-day affairs, in terms of the EU Special Representative. Now, remember, there's the High Representative, and then there's the EU Special Representative for Serb, for Bosnia and Herzegovina. Just so that you know, they're two different people. The EU guy's name, he's an Italian, his name is Luigi Soreca. He was appointed in 26 July last year, 2024. Schmidt has been in this role, he's been in this role for a very long time. His predecessor, because he started on 1 August 2021, his predecessor, or the list of predecessors before him, or the first guy that started this off was literally, Karl Bildt, who was also a German citizen, but, you know, they've obviously, no, Karl Bildt, sorry, was Swedish, and all these particular special representatives, high representatives, they've held this particular position in most cases for 1 year or 2 years. So there was Karl Bildt, inaugurally, he held it for 1 year, Swedish. A Spanish diplomat then took over after him, known as Carlos Westendorp, for 2 years. Then you had Wolfgang Petrich from Austria, a Paddy Ashdown from the United Kingdom, who held it for 3 years. You had Christian Schwarz Schilling from Germany. You had Miroslav Lajak from Slovakia. Don't worry, Slovakia is nowhere close to the Balkans. Slovakia is the other half of another European country that doesn't exist anymore, Czechoslovakia, where Czech Republic is the left and Slovakia is the right. So you obviously see, you know, what I'm getting at. Then there was Valentin Inchko from Austria, and then currently it's Christian Schmidt, who's been holding on to this position for 3 years, or he's been in this position for 3 years so far, from Germany. And they've all had a unique particular role in terms of the affairs of this particular country. Now, these high representatives are appointed by and serve to represent the countries of the Peace Implementation Council. Remember what I said? Who were the observing countries there? France, Germany, the United Kingdom, Russia, obviously the United States were the one that was trying to get them to sign the thing. There's also, the European Union is also in there. And they all particularly play a key role specifically ensuring that this particular conflict zone or this particular zone doesn't flare up in conflict again. Now, the so-called Bonn powers, the Bonn powers are a range of powers that are given to the High Representative for Bosnia and Herzegovina, which includes imposing and annulling the laws and appointing and removing officials. So if this Dodik guy does anything out of line, Schmidt can remove him. Let me say that again. Because Dodik's position is derived also from the Dayton Accords, from the Dayton Agreement, or from this Peace and Implementation Council discussion. So if Dodik does anything that tries to once again bring back conflict in that neighborhood of Southern Europe, the office of the High Representative can literally remove Dodik from the office. Even though he was voted in, elected by his own people. Now, although their legality is questionable, that's now the Bonn powers, they give the High Representative a wide range of powers which includes imposing and annulling laws and appointing and removing officials. So far, all of the High Representatives named have been from the European Union countries, and their principal duties have typically been, their principal deputies have been from the United States. Now, the principal deputy, High Representative, serves as an international supervisor for Brichko. The international supervisor for Brichko is the representative of the international community of the Brichko district, which is a specific district that exists within Bosnia and Herzegovina. It's a small little piece of that country. Now, it's also identified as a self-governing administrative unit in northeastern Bosnia and Herzegovina. Now, what you obviously need to understand here, it seems like this is trying to hold a ocean together with sellotape. If you don't know what I'm actually implying is that water and glue do not work together. And specifically, that water actually removes the effectiveness of any adhesive. Now, all this particular arrangement, discussions, and investment of affairs highlights to many people specifically and would show to anyone that it seems like there's a lot of people that have just pure bad intentions because they continuously bring up discussions of predominantly aspects of racism. But it's basically racism that they bring up every time because it's based upon ethnicity. Now, to highlight the legal basis of the Dayton Accords or the Dayton Peace Agreements, the Dayton Peace Agreement created the legal basis for the office of the High Representative. Its Annex 10 provides for the institution of the office of the High Representative in Bosnia and Herzegovina to oversee the civilian implementation of the agreement, representing the countries involved in this Dayton Accords through the Peace Implementation Council. So the Peace Implementation Council supports the Office of the High Representative. So it's not something that is just, okay, you sign this agreement and there's nothing else that helps with this as a support structure for the implementation process on the ground. The annex also states that the High Representative is to be appointed consistent with relevant United Nations Security Council resolutions and to carry out his tasks as entrusted by a UN Security Council resolution. Now, the issue of the UN Security Council's approval of High Representatives have been a point of controversy in the case of Christian Smith's appointment in 2021, the current guy, which was considered illegitimate by Russia and China, as well as some politicians in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Now, when you look at the bond powers of the OHR, at its December 1997 meeting in Bonn, the Peace Implementation Council agreed to grant further substantial powers to the OHR to avoid the implementation of the Dayton Agreement being delayed or obstructed by local nationalist politicians, like Dodik them, guys like Dodik. Now, the OHR was requested to adopt binding decisions when local parties seem unable or unwilling to act, meaning they can implement things and take action on the ground. And the second was that they can remove office public officials, they can remove from office public officials who violate legal commitments or in general the Dayton Peace Agreement. Now, before we continue, dear listeners, we're quickly going to take a short break and we're going to come back right after that.
With you, don't give a try.
Coming back there from the sounds there of Groove Armada once again with the song Just For Tonight. We're about a minute out from the next ad break, dear listeners. And just where we left off specifically was that what the bond powers of the Dayton Peace Agreement actually provide. Now, the legality of the bond powers has been questioned and is questionable because they were introduced after the Dayton Agreement was signed. Additionally, the PIC, specifically, does not have the authority to grant, that's now the Peace, what's the guy's name, the Peace Implementation Council. They don't have the authority to grant powers to the High Representative. Despite this, the bond powers give the High Representative broad authority, including the ability to make and annul laws in Bosnia and Herzegovina, as well as appoint and remove officials. The bond powers were extensively used by the OHR in the following decade, and some examples included the adoption of the defense reform in April of 2003, with the suppression of the Supreme Defense Council of the Republika Srpska. But before that, we've got a quick ad break.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Subscribe 3 minutes review right now.
Now, coming back there from the quick ad break, dear listeners, and ultimately it brings us into the last 15 minutes of today's particular discussion here in my Sunday morning take. And remember, that sees you staying in my company up until 7 a.m. Now, what happened specifically with the last example that I just mentioned there? Now, the guy that I highlighted as a problematic guy, that being Milorad Dodik, is that Dodik is the particular representative or the particular president in the Serbian side of things, because the Serbian side of things is actually the Republika Srpska, or if I'm saying it correctly, Republika Srpska, is, and it's one of the two entities within Bosnia and Herzegovina, the other being the Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina, which is situated in, you know, the northern and eastern regions of the country. So the Republika Srpska is split up into two, and it's on both sides of the Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Now, until 2004, the Office of the High Representative had dismissed a total of 139 officials, which included judges, ministers, civil servants, members of parliament, sometimes along with freezing their bank accounts even. Now, after the 2002 elections, the Office of the High Representative scrutinized all political candidates for major ministerial positions at entity and at state level. Now, I mentioned to you that there's a EU special representative post. Now, between 2002 and 2011, the High Representative also served as the EU special representative to Bosnia and Herzegovina. Now, under Christian Schwarz Schilling, the OHR seemed to soften its invasiveness, thanks to pressures from the Council of Europe and a growing EU involvement discussion. Now, the number of OHR legislative initiatives and of dismissed officials began to become less. On 27 February of 2008, the Peace Implementation Council decided to end the High Representative's mandate on 30 June 2008. The EU decision to shut down the OHR by June 2007 unexpectedly aroused disappointment and concern in the Bosnian population, NGOs, and in politicians. However, since the PIC February 2008 review, meaning the Peace Implementation Council did a review in 2008, the next year, it decided to extend the mandate indefinitely until a set of positive benchmarks have actually been fulfilled within Bosnia and Herzegovina, which it does not seem like it has been filled or fulfilled. This means that the double hatting between EUSR, meaning the EU Special Representative and the Office of the High Representative, was discontinued in 2011 when the EU representative post was fused between the EU Special Representative and the head of the EU delegation. So four conditions of closure for the Office of the High Representative, and these particular conditions that have to be met, is that in that review of 2008 in February, the Peace Implementation Council set the conditions for closure of the OHR. This, the most critical issues that were considered and that are still being considered are the objectives that have to be achieved by Bosnia and Herzegovina authorities before transition from the Office of the High Representative to a European Union presence can take place. From a long list of known priorities, the PIC, the Peace Implementation Council, selected the key ones for transition, and this specific, in order to achieve that level for the Office of the High Representative to be dismantled. So it meant the resolution of a state party, the resolution of state property, the resolution of defense property, the completion of the Britsko final award, the fiscal sustainability of the state. And this was completed as of May 2010, but it should be continuously sustained. And then you also had the entrenchment of the rule of law, completed also in May of 2010, and also should be continuously sustained. On top of these particular objectives, there were also two extra conditions. The signing of the Stabilization and Association Agreement, which was completed on 16 June 2008, and these were talks with the countries that have expressed a wish to join the EU. So they've got conditions. If they want to be part of the EU, they've got conditions that they've got to meet as Bosnia and Herzegovina, as Croatia, as Serbia, as what's the guy's name to the south? As Serbia, you've got Kosovo, you've got Montenegro, and you've got the other country that's just a loose piece hanging there. I mentioned Serbia already, but when you look at these particular, Macedonia as well is also obviously there. When you look at this particular cluster of nations, they all have to meet this particular requirement, the Stabilization and Association Agreement. They all have to meet the requirements in this. It's not just on three guys. It's not just on Bosnia and Herzegovina with their internal actors. It's everyone in that neighborhood known as the Balkans. This obviously means that they also, which is the second condition, they also have to meet the positive assessment of the situation in Bosnia and Herzegovina by the Peace Implementation Council Steering Board. This council has a steering board, and this is to be assessed after all other particular conditions and terms have been met by the parties. On top of this, non-written condition to be enforced through the assessment of the Peace Implementation Steering Board is considered a final condition, which was adopted later on by the US and some EU countries, is that reform of the Constitution in order to comply with the European Court of Human Rights decision of 2009, and this is that the closure of the Office of the High Representative is considered by the Steering Board of the Peace Implementation Council to be a precondition for EU membership. Remember this as a precondition. So, It ultimately brings us up to the particular time frame, which is about 5 minutes out from the top of the hour at 7 a.m. It does bring us up to the end of our discussion here for this morning in terms of understanding, you know, what brought about this particular agreement. Why was the Bosnian War so bad, and ultimately what led to it and built up to it? And ultimately answering the particular questions in terms of why they've got three presidents that have to respond and report to one specific non-citizen of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Takes us into the musical break to the top of the hour, and then ultimately you can stay on in terms of the next programming to come on after the break.
So these are the figurines acting out all the scenes before my eyes. I thought I knew them all by name, but they started looking much the same, and it's no surprise that I don't want to listen. I know I've won. There's nothing but rainbows. I believe in the shadows behind me. Thought I might be dropping out, but now I'm gonna work it out. I'm gonna work with me. I'm running like an Appaloosa, then I'm rolling like a rusty ship on a stormy sea. You know the people are saying strange things. Talk to the head, cause I know your thing. The face is numb. I don't wanna listen. Like a skipping stone on a silver lake. I'll take it when the chips are down, but to play the perfect happy clown, you gotta make a mistake. And people are saying strange things, and I don't wanna listen. Believe me,
standing in the doorway, silhouette on the wall, connected to your body, physical and spiritual world. And you know what I need, from my crown to my feet. Oh, please, baby, please, before I fall to my knees, tell me how you like. I just wanna try. Tease me, but provide. You got me excited. But don't rush, that's that feeling anymore. Showing up, babe. Don't rush, that's that feeling I need more of. Showing up, babe. Say my name, say my name. Let it roll off your tongue. This is what it feels like when two become one. And I know what you need, from your crown to your feet.
Need lightning fast internet? Oh. Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
I'm a human of flesh and blood, I'm made.
Did you know that one in four road deaths involves a pedestrian or cyclist? This UN Global Road Safety Week, play your part in making walking and cycling safer for everyone. Look out for our vulnerable road users. Be alert and be responsible. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Oh, please, baby, please. I'm down on my knees. But don't rush. That's that feeling anymore. Showing up, babe. Don't rush. That's that feeling anymore. Showing up, babe. I just wanna try. Tease me, but provide. You got me excited. But don't rush. That's that feeling I need more of. Showing up, babe. But don't rush. That's that feeling I need more of. Showing up. I don't ever want it to end. When it's over, start to miss it, and then I just want you again.
And right there with the sounds of Leon Bridges with the song Show Enough. Technically, it brings us up to 2 minutes past the top of the hour at 7 a.m. This has been my Sunday morning take on your number one talk radio station, and specifically, it sees us end our particular conversation there. We stay tuned for more of the rest of your programming to follow on after the musical break.